We have it, but we're okay with it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you all for joining us on this beautiful day of worship, a special Sunday in the life of church. Does anybody know what comes after the recessional today? All the people who forgot to set their alarm clocks this morning. So it's good to see that you are awake and ready to go. A few announcements before we get started. We still have a sign-up sheet for our Holy Week readers. I actually remembered to put it out back so people can actually sign up for that. So that will be helpful. Please, if you're going to be here, the more readers we have, the better. And I've been encouraged by all the people we've had willing to sign up. Our Cares and Prayers group, they'll meet this Tuesday for the only time in March from 1:30 to 3. Lenten lunch continues this Monday as we talk about the emotion of joy. So come join us from noon to 1:15 if you're available during Mondays. It's been a great conversation about all these different emotions we feel. Our Lent programming continues from 6 to 7:30 on Wednesdays. We've had great attendance so far, and I think it's going to continue. Great food and fellowship. We eat from 6 to 6:30, and then we have programming from 6:30 to 7:30. Please take the opportunity to really get the time to slow down with God during Lent, and I think that Wednesday nights have been great for that. Our Spring Craft Show, please don't forget, has been moved to April 17th to accommodate a few things. I also want to give thanks to our Mission Barbecue, which happened last night. We sold over 160 tickets. Our silent auction raised quite a bit of money, and I think we're going to help our missionaries we're sending from Ohio to Texas quite a bit by all the people that came out to support us. I was pleasantly surprised by the presence we had of Shenbrun people there, a lot of familiar faces, which made that very special. Please don't forget, Amy Pasquinelli is seeking volunteers to serve meals at the Salvation Army. I'll give you a second to talk about that in a little bit. March 11th, or today, we're doing our second Sunday cinema. Please don't forget, we're watching Inside Out today. It's kind of the theme of what we're doing for Lent on all these emotions. It's a Disney movie that really touches a lot of adult emotions. So if you have the chance to join us for that, I really encourage you to do. Great opportunity. We'll be here at 6 to watch the movie. We'll have some popcorn and some caffeine for those of you that are still struggling adjusting to your time period. So the force will be with you. And please don't forget, on Monday we're having our spring card party. All volunteers who are welcome to come to that. We have so many people who are not a part of our church who come be a part of our card party. It's really special to see and a great opportunity for our church to open its doors. And also for our youth, Spring Rally will be from April 6th to the 8th. That is the week after Easter, for sixth graders up to age 21, and we're going to Trafalgar, Indiana. I will be in charge of programming for that. Please note that registration deadline is coming up quickly. That needs to be postmarked by the 15th. And also, if you would like transportation, please let me know. Scott Miner is arranging that once again. I just need to be able to give him numbers so we know how many bands we're taking, how many bands we need to order. And it's a great opportunity, a good chance for our youth to get a weekend together and just enjoy some fun and some faith and some fellowship. Other announcements, the CEC cleaning project that was scheduled for Tuesday has been postponed. We'll reschedule for a later date. Sign-up sheet for food for Easter sunrise breakfast is available. Is that in the back, Linda, or is on the table? And then the women's board will meet after church for a short meeting. So if you can gather there. Does anybody else have any other announcements they want to share? Hold on, Floyd.
Yes, I was looking over the card party list, and I noticed that we could use
Sure.
Maybe three or four more people.
Got you.
If anybody's free, I'd appreciate it for them to sign up.
If you help out with the card party, I guarantee you won't go home hungry. So, Missy, you want to... Sounds good. Thank you, Missy. Great opportunity to support all the young actors who've been done a wonderful job with our skit so far. Chloe will be in the talent show this Saturday, and then Jacob has a play the following week at Claymont Wizard of Oz, right? And so it's a good opportunity to support the kids in our congregation who are such an active force for us. Amy, you had something you wanted to share? Thank you, Amy. Does anybody else have any other announcements they want to share? All right, at this time, stand and greet one another. Good morning. Now I can shake your hand this time. You're getting stronger every time. Morning, Erica. How are we doing? Morning, Allie. How are you feeling? You may be seated as we join together in our watchword of the week. And our watchword of the week for this week comes from the second chapter of Ephesians, verse 8. And we'll give Floyd a second to wander back on over to his spot. Let us join together. By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Amen.
Please stand for the call to worship. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
God's love endures forever.
Some were fools in their rebellious ways and suffered afflictions because of their sins.
God sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave.
Let us give thanks to God for his unfailing love.
Let us give thanks for all the wonderful deeds he does for us.
You may remain standing as we join together in singing My Song is Love Unknown.
Remain standing and turn to page 78 in the Moravian Book of Worship. Do the liturgy for Lent 2. We give thanks to you, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even before the world was made, you had already chosen us to be yours through Christ, so that we would be holy and without fault before you.
We praise you for your glorious grace, for the free gift you gave us in your precious Son.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we come before you in humble confession. Help us conform our lives to you as the model of holy and righteous living.
Forgive us for our desire for personal greatness, for our attempt to make gods of ourselves, for our willingness to exalt ourselves at the expense of others, and for our resistance to serving one another as you have served us.
Forgive us for making light of your obedience and sacrifice on the cross by living an undisciplined and indifferent Christian witness. Forgive us for the yielding to fear rather than relying on your strength to take the risks of discipleship.
Forgive us, dear Jesus, for times we have not looked to you as our Lord, and for allowing the clamor and distractions of the world to become higher priorities than you. Forgive us for yielding more to the pressures of this world and being transformed by your Lordship over our lives.
Dead in our sins, God made us alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations, which was against us and which stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross.
Let us set our hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.
This Lenten journey, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege of being
please stand.
Thank you.
Let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, since as members of one body we were called to peace. And let us be thankful. Please be seated.
In our offering today, we remember our theme this week is joy, about being a joyful giver. And I think about when I was a little boy and going to church with my mom and taking that quarter out of my allowance or that dollar out of my allowance and how joyful I was to put that into the plate every week. And as we become adults, as we grow and mature, it's easier to see things in the percentages of what I give God. And sometimes we forget that at the center of that, our joyful heart needs to be, because God really does love cheerful givers. So at this time, let us now present our tithes, offerings, and gifts.
Usher, please come forward.
Thank you.
You may be seated. In our prayers this week, we have a lot to be thankful for and to be prayerful for. Number one is with spring forward today on a day where there was still a little snow on the ground, a little frost. Praise for all who are tired and weary today, that you may have strength and caffeine and whatever you need to get through your day to be a joyful person. We continue to uplift Clara Gorby. Clara has still been recovering from a rib injury she's had, and she's just wishing that process would go a little quicker than she wants, and it's been kind of a grind for her, so we continue to leave her in prayer. Prayers for Dave Andriotta, who's a friend of the congregation. He just recently found out that he has pancreatic cancer, so prayers for him, his wife, and his family as they deal with that. Prayers for Rick Swaldo, who's having tests on Monday. Prayers for Ralph Brookover, who would be Linda Bennington's uncle, who passed away. Safe travels to her as she travels to this funeral, for the family as they celebrate the resurrection grace that is offered to Ralph. Prayers of grace for Jacob, who's getting inducted to the National Honor Society on Tuesday. Very proud of you, yeah. So now that I know you're that smart, I can pick on you all the time in church. Also in our prayers, we uplift John Potts, who would be Mason Steiner's stepfather, who is dealing with cancer. Was that?
Step-grandfather,
I'm sorry. Keep John in prayer. John visited with us, right?
No, different John.
Okay. Well, we appreciate him, and we uplift you and your family during this time, and we have prayers surrounding John. And also prayers for June Canfield, who would be Ted Canfield's sister-in-law, right, Becky?
Yes.
She passed away recently. Calling hours are today, and the service is tomorrow. Please be with that family. They've been dealing with a lot of loss this year, especially Ted, and just continue to remind people that they are surrounded by God's love and grace. So let us take a moment in silence to invite God into this time of prayer. God, we come before you today with tired and weary minds and hearts. Well, help us not to focus on the hour we lose today, but on the joy we gain from you, Christ Jesus. The joy we get from being in community, from getting to share love and grace and mercy. And help us to see just how much a difference 10 minutes, an hour, or 15 minutes can make in somebody's life. And we can use that to serve you, God. Gracious God, we have a lot of people who are sick, who are hungry, who are waiting test results, who are grieving. Help them to see that no matter how hard life gets, that you will be there to support them, to hold them, to guide us all through this, because none of us can go through this world on our own. And gracious God, help us to see that being Christian doesn't mean that we smile every single day, but it means that we live our lives with joy in our hearts, knowing that no matter what comes our way, we have you to rely on. And you are the ultimate joy. And you, Christ Jesus, remind us to allow that light to shine through us. And we ask that you continue to allow that light to sustain us, to feed us, and to guide us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture lesson is Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, found on page 827. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at once, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature's objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Jesus Christ, in order that the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For though faith and this not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Thank you, Chloe. Our gospel today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And the challenge we have with this scripture, it contains the most famous passage in the Bible, John 3:16. So your brains are going to be antenna to just kind of focus on that verse. So I want you to kind of turn those antennas off for a moment. I'll even turn mine off for a little bit. And just listen to the words that follow John 3:16. And see how God, how John, and how Jesus are talking about how light exists in the midst of darkness. How being a Christian just isn't always having that smile turned on, but learning how to deal with the reality of the world that we have. So let us listen to the words from the Gospel of John. And just as Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the Son, of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do not hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your mind, and your actions. Thanks be to God. At this time, I invite the children to come forward for our children's moment. Good morning. Good morning. Everybody's got daylight savings time in them, huh? So I need you guys to help me with a favor today. I'm talking about joy in our message today, and it just so happened that it did fall on Spring Forward, where everybody's tired and lethargic, and they don't have a whole lot of joy in their hearts. You're already falling asleep during this, aren't you, a little bit? All right, that's okay. And so what we need to do is we need to show this congregation that joy spreads, that it's contagious. Does anybody know what contagious means? What's contagious mean? You can catch something, like a cold. If somebody sneezes and they sneeze on you, you can catch a cold. That's a bad kind of contagious. But joy is a good kind of contagious. That means if you smile, that people around you start to smile. And there's actually scientific studies that show that joy, when you smile, it's as contagious as a cold. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to give you guys stickers that say, "Smile, Jesus loves you." Give me your hand. Everybody come up here. I want you to put one on the back of your hand. Put one on Nick. Put one on Paige. You get one too. Can you smile for me? Can you turn on the smiles? Now, I'm going to send you out. You're going to be my missionaries today. I want you to put a sticker. I'm going to need some help from some kids up here too, and maybe some kids over here. It's not that hard. And what I want you to do is I want you to make sure everybody in this congregation has a sticker on their hand that says, "Smile, Jesus loves you." So I want everybody to take a few stickers. Don't be shy. Thank you, Allie. Done? That'd be perfect. Need two more? I can take your trash. Thank you, Allie. Do you need more? Did anybody not get one? Raise your hand if you haven't got one yet. Madison needs some joy. Sarah needs some joy. Charlotte needs some joy from her brother. You want to give Sarah some? Sarah, did you get any yet? Nick, you want to go over there? You guys got your stickers? All right, is there anybody who didn't get a sticker? All right, everybody raise up your sticker. Let me see them. Let's see that. Where's my kids? Where's Nick? Nick's still getting stickers out. Thank you. I can take those. So everybody, raise your sticker hand, kids. Let's get up here. And you guys see how much joy you just spread in this congregation? You see how much smile and laughter these guys had just because you guys pressed out these stickers. So I want you to remember that every small act of kindness you make spreads. It's just like giving somebody a sticker, and it makes them really happy. So I want you guys can put your hand down. I'm not going to stretch you out too far. But I want you to remember that if you give people this message, that smile, Jesus loves you, that they're going to smile too. And before you know it, everybody around you is going to have a smile. And that's the cool thing about the joy that we have. So let's take a moment to pray, and we'll celebrate that joy. God, we give you thanks for these kids, for the joy and the smiles and the laughter they bring to this congregation. Help us all to be like children and to share joy and love and laughter. And we ask that you protect these kids as they go to school and watch over them and help them learn and enjoy their time with their family and just be the best that they can be. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much. Thank you. You did a good job. Grab your snack. At this time, you may remain seated as we join together in song.
Thank you.
week, we'll be hearing about the story of Moabian, part 4, and where we can find joy in life. And some things before we get started. When I wrote the skit on joy, I thought it was going to have a lot of one-liners and comedy, but as I wrote this skit out, I find that when you talk to people about joy, about what makes them happy, it's really a personal question. It's something very intimate about somebody. What makes them tick? What makes them get joy in life? So I found that this conversation got very deep very quickly. Our characters today in our skit, I will be playing the narrator once again. Jacob will be playing Mo. Chloe will be playing Alex, our rich CEO who makes her first million by the time she's 25. And then Sarah will be playing Mary, our humble waitress. And this conversation will take place when Mo is asking the two about the secret to happiness. So I will begin our journey today by narrating for you. We as Americans are ingrained with the pursuit of happiness in our DNA. The second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence states, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." We live in a world that idolizes the pursuit of happiness. Millions of books and tips are shared in our culture about the secret to happiness. Yet often our pursuits are made in vain. Time magazine reported in 2017, only 33% of Americans find themselves to be happy. And what's even more shocking about that number actually rose from 2016. So why can't we achieve this elusive dream? On our journey today, Mo is going to interview a CEO named Alex and Mary, a simple waitress, about finding joy in life. Enjoy.
I want to thank you both for taking the time to chat with me. I'm interested to hear what you both have to say about happiness.
No problem, Mo. I'm happy to help you out. How long do you think this is going to last? I'm a very important person, and I have a lot to get done today.
Thanks for inviting me, Mo. I'm happy to be here as long as you need me.
Then let us get right to it. Do either of you consider yourself to be a happy person?
Heck yeah, I'm happy. I made my first million by the time I was 25. I had 2 summer homes and a yacht by the time I was 30. Just last week, I bought a 2018 Shelby GT500, and I paid for it in cash. I am living the good life, and now my assistants will make it rain.
Wow, that's impressive, Alex. Mary, how about you?
Well, I certainly don't have nearly as many possessions as Alex has. Everything I own can be found in my one-bedroom apartment with my daughter, Emma. 3 years ago, I lost my husband to a long battle with brain cancer. We're still bouncing back, but I think all in all, we are fairly happy.
No offense, lady, but how can you possibly be happy? You have no possessions. You were dumb enough to get too close to someone and now they're gone. And you work for a crummy job with no money. If that's joy, I would hate to see what sadness looks like.
Alex, you speak as if living a pain-free life is the same as living a happy life.
It's all the same to me. I have a simple mantra. Pleasure brings me happiness. Pain brings me sadness. I avoid pain at all costs.
Well, it's not the same to me. A life without pain means the absence of one very important thing.
What's that?
Love. You can't have one without the other. When we let love into our hearts, we ultimately risk feeling a great deal of pain. But the only way to avoid pain in life is to avoid love.
That's deep, Mary. I'm a Christian, and I wrestle with finding happiness in life. Everyone else makes it sound so easy, but it seems harder for me than other people. I can't imagine what it would be like to find happiness again after losing a spouse. How'd you do it?
It wasn't easy. Every single day, I had to fight my way out of bed. I realized that on my own, I was powerless. I needed God and I needed Emma to help me. It was humbling to admit I wasn't strong enough, but it was also freeing to let go of such a heavy burden and turn it over to God. God didn't cure my pain, but he did help me manage it.
Don't be bringing Jesus into this conversation. Religion is for the weak and desperate. I'm neither of those things.
Alex, we seem to have upset you. Tell us what your secret to happiness is.
That's easy. I wanted to make my first million by the time I'm 30, and I've already done that. By 40, I want to be a billionaire and one of the 100 richest people in America. And by 50, I want to retire and do whatever I want.
Then what?
Then I'll be happy, of course.
I see. Retirement age seems like a long time to wait for happiness. Who are you going to share that happiness with?
Me, myself, and I. I'll never be dumb enough to get married or start a family.
Wow. I pity you, Alex.
You pity me? You've got to be kidding me. You loved and lost, and now you've got nothing to show for it. Except for regret, that is.
You presume to know so much about me. I regret nothing. For 5 years, I shared a beautiful marriage with my husband. Then the doctor said the word cancer, and my family's life changed overnight. Trips to the park to take our daughter to the jungle gym were replaced with long car rides and doctor's visits. My daughter celebrated 2 of her birthdays in a hospital room so my husband could be there. As he grew weaker, we as a family grew stronger. We certainly didn't get our fairy tale ending. I never left his side, and I held his hand as he left this world for the next. But when I held his hand, I felt a love so strong and pure that I wouldn't trade it for any of your possessions.
But now he's gone, you will never see him again.
Alex, I see him every day. Every time my daughter smiles, I get to see a little piece of him. In fact, every time we argue, I can see her brow scrunch up like this, like his. When we get the privilege to love someone greater than ourselves, we get a little taste of the love God feels for us. I'm mad I lost my husband, but I would do it all over again in a heartbeat.
How can you speak so kindly of God? He did nothing to save your husband. Didn't you pray for your husband to be healed?
Every single day. I shook my fist at God just like Job did, but I realized that God loved me so much that he would absorb my anger.
So you were saying your relationship with God wasn't always sunshine and flowers.
Of course. I'm saying no meaningful relationship can be purely superficial. I never knew how much I loved my husband until the hard times came. I never knew how much God loved me until I realized all the tears and anger God would be willing to absorb from me. An untested faith is no faith at all.
This immortal being you talk about knows nothing of the pain you speak.
On the contrary, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life.
Give me a break, Mary. John 3:16, that cliched Bible verse that everyone paints on their chest at football games is what you throw at me. It really can't be that simple.
I think it can be. I'll give you that Christians often reference 3:16 without thinking about what it means. But that verse has a much deeper meaning for me now that I know loss.
How so, Mary?
That God can be wounded and feel pain just like I can. That is what makes Christianity unique. God's strength comes from God's weakness.
Mary, you clearly have a strong faith. Do you think that makes you happier than most people?
No, I don't think so. I think happiness fluctuates, but the joy that I feel in my heart is steadfast and immovable.
I don't get it. What's the difference between happiness and joy?
Happiness is dependent on your daily emotional state. It changes and it fluctuates with the mood you're in. Joy, for me, is an internal light that shines within us that can never be extinguished.
You aren't trying to convert me, Mary, are you? I told you that wouldn't work.
I'm not trying to convert you, but I am trying to help you understand where I am coming from.
I can appreciate that, Mary. I may not agree with all your sentiments, but it's clear to me that you've got a good head on your shoulders. Why don't you come work for me? I'll make sure you and Emma are well taken care of.
That is a very kind gesture, but I think I'm happy being a waitress. I'll never get rich, but I find meaning in my work. For so many people, my smile is the only positive acknowledgement they get all day. In a very small way, I feel like I'm making a difference in the world. Can you do me one favor, though?
Name it.
The next time the janitor at your company comes into your office to clean your office, get to know their name and ask about their family. You might be surprised by the wisdom they can offer you.
Consider it done. Who knows, maybe one day I'll have the courage to take one of those risks you have been talking about with love, with faith or love.
I hope you do. I'll be praying for you, Alex.
No one has ever prayed for me before. Maybe we can get a cup of coffee in the future?
I look forward to it.
If our actions are after what, thank Audrey Hunt for making these for us. And this is joy spelled out. And this is the Amish concept of joy, if you're familiar with it. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And that always stuck with me. I just learned this a couple of weeks ago. But I think when you look at the story of Mary and Alex, you saw how Alex had all these possessions, and it didn't bring him joy. Though Mary had gratitude for what God had given for her, even though she faced tremendous obstacles in her life. And she had joy because joy wasn't something dependent on what she was given that day. It was something she felt in her heart. So when you have the opportunity, remember to be joyful. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Thank you all very much. You did a great job.
But before we close with our final hymn, I do just want to remind you of two things that skit really brought out is, A, that joy just isn't this sunshine and flowers relationship with God. It's about going through all those emotional stages together. And I think what was said was true, that God doesn't cure our sadness, but God does help us manage it in a way that we can work through it together. And it's important to carry that message through the world. And I hope what you saw in that interaction also, we didn't want to send off the portrayal that Alex all of a sudden heard the story of Jesus and all of a sudden quickly became a Christian and was very enthusiastic. Many of you know that's not the case with people. And what you saw today was a seed being planted. A seed being planted. That's all we can do. Because God is the one that provides the sunshine and the person we're encountering is the flower. And it's up for those two to interact with one another. And all we can really do when we evangelize, when we tell people about God's joy and love for them, is to plant the seed and hope that those two interact in a way that cultivates a meaningful relationship. And I encourage you to think about that when you share your joy with the world, that Jesus makes you smile. Just remember, all you got to do is plant a seed. It's not on you to convert people. It's on you to introduce them to share God's love with them. So at this moment, let us rise as we join together in proclaiming God's love for us in song. forth and carry that message out into the world, brothers and sisters. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.